Hello again, I'm John Schrader. This is Watch the Media. This week I managed to chase down the very busy sports editor of the Omaha World-Herald, Sam McEwen. Of course, news was breaking, so we were limited in our time, but I wanted to share with you this conversation recorded Friday, August 4th, on a day when the Big Ten expanded yet again, adding Oregon and Washington to what is now an 18-team conference beginning in 2024. We'll get to that in just a bit. We do cover a lot in these 30 minutes, including the World Herald audience's appetite for Husker athletics, the relationship between the World Herald and the Lincoln Journal Star, longtime competitors, now owned by the same company. We present all these interviews on Apple, Spotify, Google, and more, so I hope you can regularly find them. And many of these interviews appear on the campus radio station at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, KRNU 90.3 FM, on Sunday mornings. We are now joined by the sports editor of the Omaha World-Herald and also covers Husker athletics, football, women's basketball, and much more, a little bit of everything. Sam McEwen, is that a semi-fair introduction for what you do?
A semi-fair. Yeah, absolutely. We do a lot, and we do it often. How's that?
Well, you do it a lot, and you do it, let's be honest, with fewer people than ever before. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, yes, in a sense, we have more people than a lot of other places do, and because of Husker Extra, we're able to combine resources between the World Herald and the Journal Star in a good way. So we have, like, if we still have to do, like, when Scott Frost gets fired last year, we still have, you know, we still had, I don't know, 8 or 9 people covered. So when we got to have it, we were able to leverage a lot of people for the thing that he covered. Obviously, in journalism, it's a tougher and tougher environment to do all of the things that you've always wanted to do before. So that part has changed. But, you know, Nebraska football still is still a real traffic driver and it's real fascination among fans.
So I'm going to ask you about the Lincoln Journal Star, and I'm going to ask you about the appetite, too. And I've written these down for myself so I don't forget it. But before we go too far, this is a relatively new role for you now as the sports editor. Can you give me a little bit of an idea? Because I get the feeling you're not like a traditional sports editor. Tell me what you do and how you do it and kind of what your daily groove is.
Yeah, so I've been the sports editor for about 2 years and 3 months, I think. My mentor was terrific. His name was Thad, and he was more of a traditional sports editor. And what that means to a lot of people is, you know, he was a desk guy. You know, he did a lot of the and was print focused, right? For the longest time, it was very print focused. So understanding design elements, writing headlines, doing the back, you know, tech work. We work in a system called Blocks. Knowing how to master that system. Understanding, you know, directions on layout, presentation, design, managing the budget, which I somewhat manage. I co-manage with a deputy sports editor, but he wasn't what you would call a player coach, and I am. And so I write a lot. I obviously write. I cover Nebraska football. I cover a little bit of Nebraska basketball, but we're hiring for that spot again. And, you know, and I also try to cover Nebraska athletics. So, you know, the Big Ten, Nebraska athletic administration, small things like that. So I write a lot, and then I kind of oversee our Husker Extra coverage between us and the Journal Star. So I'm sort of the ideator there, and I send out budgets on that. And then among the World Herald writers, you know, I manage them. And so, like, I'm the person who works with our writers and works with ideas and comes up with new ideas. And I don't have to do a lot of managing, micromanaging, because we have a talented, experienced group. So it's not that kind of thing. But it's more just, hey, you know, what are you working on? How can I help? You know, that element of it. So there are some traditional sports editor parts to it. And then there are some other things where I'm really fortunate to have a great deputy and Kristen, who does a great job and manages some of the other things. So it is different, but the writing part is important. and content creation in this day and age is important. And so that's what I want to do. And that's what our folks are comfortable with me doing as well.
So how much, Sam, does the actual newspaper part of it, putting ink on paper, drive the business these days?
It still drives the business. There's still people who subscribe to the newspaper. We care about the way it looks. It's important to us, John. You know, it's we still win awards for that stuff. So we care. It matters to us. People still subscribe to the newspaper. There's still an audience for it. And, you know, on a big news day, you know, like a news day where, hey, like there's 9 stories on one or two things, I'm always saying buy a newspaper, you know, like, and I still get our newspaper. State tournament time, buy a newspaper, you know, like that's great. It's a great time to look at all the photos all in one spot. And, you know, you've been here long enough to know that, you know, the Nebraska state tournaments are unique, right? Like, they're not split up by class. There's not Northern California and Southern California, but you know, there's just 4 days where they just kind of have the whole thing, and everybody comes to Lincoln and they play basketball or they play volleyball. So yeah, we wrestle in Omaha. So, you know, we still pride ourselves on really good coverage on those days, and those are great days to buy a paper. So it still drives some of our business model, but obviously the online environment's really important too. And, you know, we continue to try to press into that area because there's a lot of people that, you know, and we're talking on a day when the Big Ten may add Oregon and Washington. There's people that want to read about that in the newspaper Saturday morning, and there's people who want to read about that right now on Friday afternoon as it happens.
So how has the groove changed with the ownership change? Lee Enterprises owns both the Lincoln Journal Star and the Omaha World Herald. You've alluded to Husker Extra coverage, and I'm going to ask you a little bit more about that in a minute. But how has that changed in that the two most competitive journalism sources in the state of Nebraska, it seems, are now partners owned by the same company?
Yep. I think it's gone well. You know, I think we were able to generate a lot of content, a lot of traffic. We all kind of have, like you said, our areas where we're strong. We're still able to write the stories that we all kind of care about. You know, we do a good job of creating space for one another to do the things we want to do. And, you know, each paper's got a columnist and they have their own perspectives. So that's Tom Chattel at the World Herald and Amy Just at the Journal Star. And they kind of write what they, you know, like columns do after a football game. They're each going to write their own perspective. We're not asking them to coordinate. So, you know, we'll run her column, usually on the second day of the paper and usually online that night. And they'll run his column, and that's how it goes. Like it's a pretty, you know, I would say that it's actually been a pretty smooth model. Granted, I think at first it was a little bit of an adjustment. But I think it takes time to adjust, and I think we've done a pretty good job of adjusting. We share the recruiting resources, the recruiting coverage, pound for pound. We put out a lot of stuff, and we have a lot of people who read it.
So one of the great things about our business, and whether it's broadcast or radio, television, even podcasting, is that competition makes us better. Competition makes us sharper, hones our skills. And how do you kind of keep that sort of competitive edge while you're working together in some respects? Or do you?
Right. Well, we're not the only, obviously, news organization covering Nebraska athletics on a given day. It's going to be 40 to 45 people. And that's a lot of people. And that's a lot of news outlets. And so, yeah, we're going to be competitive. I think people who know me would tell you, and this may be a little bit different than other people. I think people who know me will tell you that while I may be competitive, the success of other people is a much larger deal. Just, I don't know. Like, and that part of me is an editor. Like, I have an editor's heart in that way. That, like, I really desire to see people write the things that really give them joy, write the things that they feel like, you know, mean something to them and define their work. And that when you're doing that, a lot of times you're competing against you. And you're trying to do the best work you can do. Now, granted, there's situations where you're talking about breaking news and other small things like that. Yeah, those are moments where, you know, because we have such a large news organization now with the World Herald and the Journal Star, it helps us to leverage more opportunities to get things done. You know, and we're able to get in some circumstances news faster as a result. But in terms of the competition, there's still a lot of competition in the market. And you know, what you're trying to do at any given time, I think that the key is to A, you know your subject matter, B, compete well, C, connect with your readers, express yourself, and, you know, those things are all important. And it's not that I don't think that competing is important. I'd say I've won my share of scoops over the years. But, you know, what you do for the audience that's paying for you to do it. And there's some people that struggle with that because it's like, well, the audience wants me to just do recruiting. And there's some people like me that don't struggle with that because I do what I do, and I guess if people like it, they like it, and they seem to. And so, like, yeah, the way I look at the thing is just a little bit different. I consider myself a journalist for sure, but simultaneously, you know, I'm a big believer in people being able to express and do the work that they do, and I think that comes out in what I do. You know, I think people would say that I'm a little different from a columnist and also different from just a straight beat writer. So I have a unique role. I understand that.
Sam McCune is the sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. He's been good enough to spend a little time with us right in the time of the year when there is no time for much of anything else except covering sports. And yeah. I appreciate it. When this job came open 2.5 years ago, had you been preparing for this? Did you want to be a sports editor?
Well, I knew that my boss was leaving eventually. That was related to, you know, like personal wanting to go out and do a certain thing. So we were all kind of prepared for that part of it. And then, you know, if they had told me, hey, you want to be the sports editor, but you got to stop writing and you can't, we need you to just kind of sit at a desk. I don't think I'd have done it. So it had to be a situation where, you know, let me track back. My boss had done a really good job of preparing me for the role, and that I was, and this is prior to Husker Extra coming together, I was our Husker sports coordinator, John. And so what I did is I made the budget for all the Husker sports stuff, whether I was covering it or not. So, you know, I kind of oversaw all of our Husker writers. I would coordinate with the columnists and say, hey, you know, what do you want to write about this week? I'd line that stuff up. So I was doing that for years. And so I had already kind of had that component to it. So yeah, I was comfortable with that. And then I think the part that I just needed to know is, can I keep doing what I'm doing? And then, you know, or do I have to be the person who's here at 1 a.m. putting the paper to bed? And that was never the plan. Like, the plan was always to have the person who's doing that, keep doing that. She's great at doing that. She wanted to keep doing that. So it was a natural transition. I'm the sports editor, but to be clear, and I think she would affirm this, that I give her a pretty large voice in how we do things. So I'm pretty collaborative. That's not to say that I don't have a lot of opinions, but I try really hard to make things, kind of a collaborative process and seek other people's voices, probably not her voice. I don't seek her voice to a fault, but I try to involve people almost to a fault.
Yeah.
And that's probably an area where I've had to work on things, where I've got to just be able to say as the sports editor, nah, we're going to do this. We're not going to dilly dally anymore. We're going to do this. And I've worked on that. That's been a journey for me.
So just to be fair, the she you're referring to is?
Kristen. Yeah. It's our deputy. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yep. So that's what
and
I expected.
She's great.
And her last name for the audience?
Kristen Donovan.
Right. Okay.
She's
thank
really
you.
Good. Yep. Yeah. She's awesome. And, you know, a total pro at design, really good designer, really good visual. I focus more on the online component, the speed with which you have to get things up, the way that you got to write headlines, the number of characters that you use, the way that we use social media. All those things matter. And so I govern some of that. You know, I talk through some of that with our writers, things like that. And of course, you know, hey, I'm a writer, so I can say this with confidence. Writers can be temperamental people. Journalists can be temperamental. I'm temperamental. So you learn how to manage really talented, creative, and yet sort of up and down folks, right? That's just how the business is. You're dealing with talented, creative people who are often perfectionistic, often want things a certain way, don't like it when things aren't that way, super competitive. And so in this industry, you have to be able to roll with all of that and be really adaptive to the personalities that you're working with.
Are you as good, Sam, at having your work edited as you are at editing other people's work?
You mean am I willing to have my work edited?
No. Are you as good at being edited as you are at editing?
Yeah, I'm fine with being edited. Yeah. I mean, I would say that
I'm okay. Sam, it's, you know, the old thing is, we tell our students that all the time, and I'm sure you've heard it every day of your career. Everybody needs an editor. And Sometimes we don't think our work needs to be edited, but it does always matter that a few extra eyes look at it.
You know, no question. You know, yes, I'm fine with my work being edited. I have always been fine with my work being edited. The most edited story I ever had was I wrote a story about Michael Phelps back when they were here at the swim trials in 2012. And I wrote a really good story. It's good. And I went down to the Olympic thing down in Dallas where they were doing all the interviews. And I kind of got to a part in this hotel ballroom where I really wasn't supposed to be, but I was kind of watching a photo shoot. And he was a part of it. And he's getting really annoyed because, you know, this is a guy that loves to swim, but really doesn't love all the things attached to it. And so the story was about that. The story was about, you know, that this guy is maybe one of the greatest athletes we have ever seen, and yet really is reluctant to do anything except that part of it. And then I wrote another subsequent story about Ryan Lochte, who was not reluctant to do any of those parts. He loved that. He loved the other part. And so, like, I remember just if the editing process was like 2 hours long. Our former executive editor edited it. And I think initially he thought I was going to have a problem with him, you know, taking it apart and putting it back together again. But I love words. And so I'm always fascinated to see how a word's going to work in this circumstance. How are they going to work in that circumstance? And so I do a lot of that. I'm big on leads. So other people are big on endings. My former colleague, Dirk Chatelain, loves the best ending. I'm more into leads. How do I hook them? How do I create a hook to a story? How do I turn the story into what it needs to be about? And then how do I drive it? So that the readers are caught up and there's momentum to the story, and then it ends and you want to read it again. That's my view of like what's good about it is that you read it and you kind of want to read some part of it again because it went faster than you thought it was going to go, but you liked it.
Yeah. Are you a guy who is always thinking about how you're going to structure the story as you're reporting it? Somebody says something, you said, that's the way the story is going to end, or that's where I'm going to start the story. Are you thinking that way all the time?
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah.
And the times when you don't, man, those are the tough ones. That, like, when you don't know how to start it or you don't know where it needs to go, that can be challenging, but most of the time I'm thinking about that, and I can kind of do that in my head. So whether it's a game story or it's something else, I can kind of make that play. I have seen other people write better stories than I, but they don't do that on the fly, and so they get it in, but it takes longer. You know, so like there's trade-offs to it. But I can do that in my head. Sometimes there are times when I go back and I go, you know, I used that one word twice in 5 sentences. I wish I had. But, you know, it's 10 o'clock at night. You're going fast. You can only do so many things in a story when you're on deadline before you just got to pick it. You just got to pick it. You know what I mean? Like, there's people who are like, I can't decide.
Just do it. What's the value in 2023, Sam? What's the value of what we used to call game stories? We know they've changed. We still call them that, I suppose. But what's the value of that in today's media consumption landscape?
There's some value in a really good game column. If you can turn it in game story into something larger, you know, for example, if there's a moment in a season where it turns, you know, and you're like, oh man, this is it. Or when a coach, you can tell a coaching tenure is on the ropes. You don't write an AP gamer, write a cool gamer, right? That's what I would try to talk about. There are moments when that stuff really is good and it's sweet. But I also know that's a high wire act. That's not easy for a lot of people to do. Sometimes that is hard to do on the fly. It's easier when it's an 11 a.m. game. You're like, oh, I got some time. Man, I'm going to make this fun. And you see that. When it's 7 p.m., you got to write something about what just happened. Readers want to read something. Now, they might have just watched it, but they want to read a little something. I'm not saying a traditional game. So you got to move fast. There's a role for that. There's a role for the online bulletin, as we call it. There are people who have their phone and they have our alerts. And when the game ends, we send out an alert on our email, and maybe they were doing something and they want to know if Creighton won or not. And we send out a bulletin with about 200, 300 words in it, and people read it because they don't know what happened. You know, they don't know what happened. So, there's some value there. I know what you mean by that statement, though. I know what you mean. Yeah. And I don't know. There's not a lot of value in certain game stories. I'll say that. We're getting to the point, I think, in the high school realm, we're just a direct recitation of exactly what happens. That's interesting about, you know, the parents and a few people.
Yeah.
So you've got to find a way to do something else there. You got to go to that game with a feature mindset and say, all right, I'm going to come out of here with something that's a little different. And maybe we run a little thing, an item. But I'm going to have a follow-up story that people are going to like to read because something cool happened in this match, and I'm going to write about that. I think that's the model. And then, you know, in the NFL, I don't know if gamers matter there. So it's hard to say. I know you're a soccer guy, so, like, when people wake up on whatever day it was, they don't know what happened in the Women's World Cup because they were asleep. So somebody's got to write what happened, right? So I'm guessing a lot of people read about that when they woke up.
Yeah.
The tie with Portugal. Mm-hmm. So there's some value, you know, you never know.
You know, this sort of struck me here now, and I think about it, but as it pertains to this conversation, we're in both the great challenging point of the history of journalism and the exciting point of journalism in that we're watching and impacting and affecting and crafting the way the business is delivered in real time. I mean, we're experimenting, we're trying this, and we're pasting this together, and we're still putting out a newspaper, but we got to make sure that person wants it at 2 o'clock. We give it to them at 2 o'clock. So is this both a challenging and exciting time to be in this business?
Yeah, I think that's true. Like, there are some aspects to this where it, you know, again, it's like that, you gotta go. And that part's exciting. You just gotta go. And so, yeah, there's some parts of that. And you know, you're a professor. So you develop these young folks. The ability to be extemporaneous today is high. Being extemporaneous, being able to do this stuff on the fly, your mind having to work fast. That's the skill set, and that's the thing that I think is still a remaining challenge. It's exciting in a way. It's exciting to me. I think some people are worn out by it. So it kind of depends on the industry. For example, and I'm going to have to go now.
Okay, sure.
No. This is helpful. The Big Ten is going to add Washington and Oregon. That's going to happen this afternoon. And, or maybe tomorrow. I don't know. We're talking on a Friday. Maybe they do it. They're going to add Washington and Oregon. This story developed over the course of 48 to 72 hours. And the people who cover this, the Pete Famels and Nicole Auerbachs, Dan Wetzels, Ross Dellinger, these people are crushers. I mean, they're, you know, it's like the scene in Heat where it's like, if you feel the heat coming around the corner, you drop everything in 30 seconds flat. This is who these people are. And you have to be that. Like, it's not easy. And they get paid. They get paid well. Don't get me wrong. I think they get paid pretty well, but you got to be a crusher. And it's not easy. It's really hard, actually. And the people who do it really well, they're real. That's the real deal, what those folks do. And I respect it a lot because it's an acquired skill, and it takes a lot of source building. And you build the source, and you build the source, and you build the source, and you build the source for the day when, you know, the Pac-12 screws up and the Big Ten's ready to catch the teams that want to get out. And here we go. You know, like that's what happens. And so that's the nature of the business today. You've got to be able to go long when you want to. But if you're going to get into the sports writing part of it, there's other parts of the industry that are awesome. You know, if you want to be a documentary filmmaker, this is also a great time to be alive. But if you want to do this thing, you've got to be wired. And even at the local level, you got to be wired up because you do not know what's going to happen. Anything could happen at any time. Just see what happened at Northwestern. And those kids were ready to go, and they were ready, you know. But you don't know when that's going to happen. You don't know how it's all going to unfold. So that's the business.
I got to let you go. I know you do, but one quick thought about the death of the Pac-12, if it's indeed the death, and it sounds like it is close to that. That's not a good thing for all of us, is it?
That's a complex question because, and I'm not trying to say, it's not, you would, in a utopia, no, it's not. The reality of what's happening, though, it's not like the Pac-12, it's not like these teams want to go away. What they're running up against is academia is changing. College is expensive. Fewer kids are going to school. COVID hit, and it took a hit out of everybody's pocket. It was hard for everybody, but it was hard on universities because, you know, that's what they do is educate kids. And for a whole year or two there, it was just really hard to do. So the other thing that's happening is you can't get people to watch TV. You get them to watch the phone, maybe. You got generations of kids that just aren't all that interested. And so everybody's trying to make a moving target, and the Pac-12 just doesn't have enough people in their market area that care about what they're doing. And as a result, we're in this moment where the Pac-12 has to try to get a deal with Apple. And the only option Apple has is to try to buy ESPN. And I don't think Apple wants to do that. As I've said to a couple different people, Apple is not a content creation company primarily. Apple is a product creation company. They mostly create products, and in my opinion, they create some really good ones. But content creation is not their expertise. And so I don't think they want to get further into that. And the best thing that Apple has done is Ted Lasso. And Ted Lasso's done, and I don't know that they have that much more to do. And so Apple streaming hasn't gone that well. That was the Pac-12's best option. I don't think the presidents like that at all. I think they figure we can just go out on our own and get our own deals. And so I think Oregon and Washington are going to peel off. I don't know what Stanford and Cal are going to do. Stanford and Cal may not even play sports. You never know. I could see that happening. Or they just say, you know, we're just, we love our volleyball team. Maybe we can keep that going. But, you know, some of these places may just say, wait, we're kind of done. And we don't want to do sports anymore. We just want to be, let's be clear, Stanford and Cal are two of the five, six best universities in America. So maybe they just want to be that. Anyway, got to go.
Okay, okay. I appreciate it, Sam. Thanks. Next time, just to give you a warning, we're going to talk about a couple of things, including Husker Extra, which we teased twice and didn't talk about, and then maybe a little bit about the coverage of Scott Frost, because as you may or may not know, I'm working a little bit on some of that, and I will trust that you'll be a willing participant in those conversations. So thanks.
Sure. Yeah. You bet.
All right, Take Sam. Care. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Sam McEwen is the sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. I'm John Schrader. This is Watch the Media.